Blog Talk Radio.
What an amazing life, what a family. How did the years go by? Now it's only me.
We were actually organized.
I know. You have no idea. I was so mad. I was in here glaring at the computer and glaring at my phone because my phone is dead. And yeah, I had it plugged into my computer trying to charge it so like I could even get Skype to come up. And like nothing. Nuts. It was so crazy. Anyways, happy Thursday, people. Yay! You get two shows with us today.
That's right.
I can't wait. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, God. Oh, coffee just hit the bloodstream.
Yay! Now, I went out. Seriously, this is how dedicated I am to having my caffeine. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we are redoing the kitchen right now, so my stove isn't even in the kitchen. I needed to make tea. I went out to the motorhome and made tea on the little stove inside the motorhome. I needed my caffeine. It's raining, and I'm out there making tea.
Oh, poor Ginger.
I know, but it was great. It was great. Cannot go without the caffeine.
Oh, God. Good morning to you all. Oh, by the way, Jay, I saw your tweet. Jay made me his partner on the Walking Dead game on Facebook, and he says, I got ate up by the walkers. No, he says, I got eated up. I like it.
He let you get eated up by the walkers?
Yes, and then he gave me a Kanye West shrug as a hashtag. Why? Good morning, Jay.
How rude.
You know what? I can't say anything either. I made my other Facebook self as a partner. My other Facebook self was a zombie. That explains it. Oh, my God, Jay, it's your fault. My other Facebook self was a zombie. I was like, why am I in here? And I had to, you know, stab myself. So,
You had to stab yourself. Man, I love these conversations. Stab myself.
And now I know why I was a zombie. I got eaten up because Jay did not watch my back. See? And I thought all I had to worry about was Ginger stealing the health packs.
No, apparently Jay letting you down.
Oh, God, there was a whole conversation about you with the health packs, by the way. So you know, over dinner the other night.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, we. In case y'all didn't know, as I told you, you know, we had a gamer dinner thing over the last weekend with Horace and ZQ77 and my new friend whose name I can't remember. I'm so sorry. In danger, and we were talking about, you know, who's a good person to have your back in the zombie apocalypse, and we all agreed that
not Ginger.
Well, no, we want Ginger, but you have to watch Ginger because here's what you hear. Oh, there's a health pack over here. Be like, oh, really? What did you get over there? What happened to the health pack? Oh, I picked it up.
I did. I needed a health pack.
I was like, well, what the hell did you tell me for?
Because it's something that I do when I play. I sit there and, like, I don't know. I like give the game monologue or something, you know?
It is It is always hilarious, though. It gets a good laugh every time. And I fall for it every time. I'm like, oh, it's a health pack. And then I go over there, and I'm like, where is it? And then they're just like, I got it.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I took care of it for you.
Or my favorite was, what was that? It's a little alcove, and we were playing Left 4 Dead, and across the hall is a room, and everything in there is on fire with the zombies. Mm-hmm. Remember that? I remember that very clearly because I was about to die, and Ginger calls out, there's an adrenaline shot. And so I'm like, oh, thank God, and I run over, and I'm like looking for adrenaline shot. You all had gone off and started shooting. I look up, and there's a zombie running towards me on fire. I'm like, oh, my God, where's the adrenaline shot? And she's like, oh, I got it. And I was like, ah!
I totally did that, too. Yeah.
She will heal you. You just, you know, you can't get there.
I will. And if you die, I'll even save you.
Yes, she will save you. But the thing is, you gotta get eat it up at first. Before she comes out. You might get bitten a few times before she comes.
Well, when it comes down to the zombie apocalypse, me or you.
See, that's what Jay just posted. He said it was either me or you. Why am I he let me get zombified? Thanks a lot, Jay.
Jay, you know I was going to rag on you, but you know what? I got your back now.
Yeah, way back, though. Just so you know.
But you know what? That health pack's going to be mine, Jay. Sorry.
Be like, ooh, health pack. Nom, nom, nom.
Pretty much, too. I was like, ooh, health pack.
She does it. I guess what gets me is I fall for it every time. I know this when I play with Ginger. If she says it, she's already gotten it. There's no need to go look for it. But I fall for it every time.
That's exactly what it was. I was telling you. I was just letting you know I had it. It's all right. You didn't have to look for it.
Every time you get me. Every time.
You know what? She says this with so much love.
It is. Oh, it's good fun.
Oh,
Jay's talking about he never gets invited to play. You were invited to play the last time we all played Left 4 Dead.
I know. Wasn't it his idea to play Left 4 Dead, and then he didn't even have the game?
No, it wasn't. That was Horace. Jay just didn't make it to play, so it was just me, you, and ZQ. I think we had Jay for a little while, and he was making comments about me being face down. Corey, why are you always face down on the floor? And then ZQ says, not in a fun way either. Okay, hey!
Yeah, we save that for later.
Yeah, later on tonight. Okay. I like when she does it. Doesn't she sound so cute? You don't sound threatening. You just sound adorable.
I don't sound threatening.
I want to feed you things. Here's Ginger.
Are these things like chocolatey and good?
Yes, yes.
I want some chocolate.
I had some yesterday. And not what you think.
Chocolate.
It was M&M's. A friend bought me a whole bag of M&M's. Thank you so much for contributing to my poundage. Me?
Yeah,
no.
No. On Facebook asked you about white chocolate.
No, I don't actually. I'm not really a fan of chocolate altogether. Period. I mean, I like peanut M&Ms with the chocolate,
he's
but
completely oblivious.
How about who's oblivious? Me? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I heard what you said. I'm ignoring that. Yeah, I don't like white chocolate. Okay, so I need to tell you guys about a new app.
Okay.
And I'm sorry I'm chewing gum in your ear, but hey, it's morning. That's what you get. A new company called Diffbot has come up with a new API that will tell you what's behind, you know, those links that you get on Facebook, the tiny bit URL. It kind of gets a lot of people in trouble. They end up getting viruses and things because you have no idea what you're clicking on. And sometimes the temptation is too great. I know it is for me. I look and I say, it's a shortened URL. What could be on the other side? I live dangerously. I click it, and hope that it's not a virus. But Diffbot says we won't have any more trouble with that. They've launched a new beta API called Page Classifier, and it can reveal the page. Yes, and it reveals the page type and language behind any URL. Diffbot's first APIs emphasize the scanning, parsing, and extracting of information from web pages, so developers could use these APIs to scan articles or home pages to pull the most meaningful content. Now, it will expand its dev cred with Page Classifier, which could have a variety of uses. The Page Classifier API is already being used by social bookmark app SpringPad, which a lot of you I know use. I see you on Facebook with SpringPad. With the enhancement of links by showing additional content that relates to those links, Page Classifier can be tested out with a Google Chrome extension that analyzes Twitter updates and shows what sort of links are attached to each status, including photos, articles, and products. This could be the end of those little porn bots that keep sending us stuff, because I don't know exactly
what. You don't like the porn bots?
No. I had one joint follow us on Twitter yesterday called Boobalicious or something. I don't know. And I looked at it, and it was a porn girl. She said she's a gamer. I don't know, but she lies. She only had – she had no followers and, like, 800 tweets.
You lie. You lie. Liar,
liar, song on fire. Okay, so we're constantly surprised by how developers are using our APIs, they said. And I'm sure they like that I put song on fire right before I start reading their quote. And how devs might take advantage of the classifier. This is from Diffbot CEO Mike Tung. He told this to our buddies over – I was about to say something really bad. Our babies, our buddies over at VentureBeat. He says, internally, we're already benefiting our classification of a day – and Twitter showed us images are most of what's being shared, so we've prioritized development of our image API, which will be the next one we release. Palo Alto, California-based Diffbot was founded in 2008 and has raised $2 million in seed funding from investors including Brad Garlinghouse, Sky Dayton, Andy Beck. Yeah, I'm going to leave your name alone, Andy. Joy Ice Ito.
I can't pronounce the name of.
If I can't pronounce it, yeah, the person formerly known as Andy B, Joy Ito, Maynard Webb, and Matrix Partners. Diffbot has also made an infographic that shows off its data mining potential. I am excited because now I will not be so freaked out about picking little or clicking on those links.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun.
Yes, very fun, very fun.
Yes, you like the one Jay just gave us. Now, we do know that that's YouTube because YouTube shortens its own URLs and it has u2.be. But the rest of them you have to be very careful about.
Okay.
Do you see what Jay said?
No, where's my Twitter? I think I've gone to open my Twitter about 5 times and I've gotten distracted by, like, the news.
Jay is wrong for playing the Incredible Hulk theme. He says, sling the backpack over his shoulder. It's a long and lonely road.
Oh, no.
Jay, smash. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. There was apparently a story this morning, or maybe it was yesterday. Anyways, it's up on GamePolitics.com this morning. Sony calls PSN hack story completely false.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Even though a story about a fresh security leak, maybe, on PlayStation Network turned out to be a hoax, Sony decided to issue a short statement on the matter. The story, which turned out to be false, originated over at Kotaku.
Ooh.
Laster, we're looking at you. Based on a tweet from a Twitter account associated with the hacking group Anonymous, the tweet implied that a fresh intrusion into Sony's networks had occurred. A file on Pastebin was offered as proof, but as people started looking into the data, they found that it was from March. In other words, old news. Still, a Sony representative offered the following comments via Twitter for the sake of clarity. We've confirmed that the recent claims that PlayStation Network was illegally hacked and that customer passwords and emails were accessed is completely false. Consider that a public service to you if you happened to have stumbled upon that security breach story from yesterday. Yeah, so, Blaster, what have we been saying? What have we been saying? Mm-hmm. Our allegiance, they have acted out against you.
Oh, well, Kotaku, sorry for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, that's why we have...
You should have done your research. I would have done my research.
That's why we call ours gossip. Or buzz, mm-hmm. because it may or may not be true, and we cover our asses that way. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, I got some interesting news. Somebody may be buying the devil.
The devil?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. The devil?
Yes.
I went to bed, like, early last night, too.
That's all right. I was yawning. Yes, was it during Pixie East? I couldn't stop yawning, and I wasn't even sleepy. I think I just needed some oxygen or something. But anyway. The rumor is that somebody may be buying the devil, a.k.a. EA. A story flouting a rumor that EA might be the target of an acquisition has seen the company's share price rise by over $1 in pre-marketing trading on the NASDAQ, closing last night at $13.09. Price is open today at $14.38, still well below the $25.20 they were trading at 9 months ago. And the company's $25.20, for you who are like $25.20 what, the company's high water mark of $68.20 on February 2005, which is the day I was going to sell and did not. And I have learned my lesson. Sell it. Damn it. Nonetheless, the hike promoted by as yet an unsustained article in New York Post reveals a welcome upturn in the publisher's fortunes after hitting all-time lows this year At the time of the writing, EA shares were trading, and the writing is over on our GI International page, by the way, not ours, but, you know, our friends, that EA shares are trading at $13.95 and dropping towards last night's closing price. Trading volume was also up as well. The New York Post believes that two private equity investors are interested in the purchase of EA, KKR, and Providence Equity Partners. PEP already owns Bethesda. That's right. They own Bethesda. So it's been it has a good insight into the market, but the Post story remains unsourced. All three companies have so far declined to comment on the issue. Declining to comment means it's probably going to happen. They're just not saying anything yet. You all have to learn the lingo. If they said, no, we're definitely not buying, is when you know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, they still may lie then, but declining to comment means, yeah, it's going on. We just don't want to say anything right now.
We know about it. We know about it. We're just not going to admit to it. All right, so I got to talk about the stupid man of the week.
Stupidest man of the week.
Oh, well, maybe not the stupidest, but definitely a stupid man of the week. We heard about Steve Jobs' home being robbed the other day, right? Man accused of robbing Steve Jobs' home stole his wallet and driver's license. According to an Associated Press story found on Times Techland, the person that was arrested for burglarizing Apple, co-founder Steve Jobs' Palo Alto, California home, stole his wallet and his driver's license, along with other items including Apple products, which you know are going to be out of date, 3 months anyways, and jewelry, according to a police report released Tuesday. The man accused of the burglary, 35-year-old Kerium McFarland.
Oh, he is too old to be doing stupid stuff like that.
I know,
that.
Right? I blame it that his parents named him Kerium. Yeah. Anyways, targeted the home because it was being renovated. When construction workers left, the man climbed over a fence, found a spare key, and made his way into the house. Police claim the suspect spent 15 hours in the house taking various items, including iPhones, iPads, iPods, Mac computers, crystal champagne, and $60,000 worth of Tiffany & Company jewelry. McFarland sold the jewelry online.
Oh, my God. He sold the woman's Tiffany?
Yeah, he sold the jewelry online and gave the iPads to his daughter and a friend. How was he arrested? Well, he was stupid enough to use one of the stolen devices to access his own iTunes account. That's how they found him. Police also claimed that McFarland had admitted to breaking into other homes. He has also written an apology letter to Jobs' widow. He's currently being held on $500,000 bail and being represented by a public defender. All right, first, carry him. Anyways, you stole Apple crap. I'm sorry, you get poor taste. 15 hours in this home, even if it is being renovated, it's Steve Jobs' home. Steve Jobs, why were there not any kind of security around at all?
Well, they always assume that people will have some respect for the dead, but we all know that those types of...
No, because that just made him, like, more famous to some people.
I don't understand. Okay, not that I'm advocating that he stole things, because, you know, we don't do that here, at least not jewelry. Even then, you stole items that could be traced, okay? This is Steve Jobs, this iPad. This is not Joe Blow's iPad. This is Steve Jobs, this iPad. Really?
I know, right?
You didn't think that even if they didn't have security around the house that it might be a bad idea that they couldn't trace it? You know, the crystal, the jewelry. Well, the jewelry is not so smart either because most Tiffany jewelry has an engraved serial number, easily traced. Back to you if you used an ID to sell it, especially if you went to a pawn shop or if you sold it online even. They're still able to trace it back to you. As soon as the person gets it, they're probably going to have it appraised. When they have it appraised, serial numbers are stolen, bam, it's back to you. You were just going to get caught. You were done.
Yeah.
And again, have some respect for the dead. Come on.
Well, it's Steve Jobs, and we all know what Steve Jobs is into, so it doesn't surprise me that somebody would go right in his house, but I wouldn't have thought about for Apple stuff. I would have thought about for, I don't know, narcotics. But, seriously. But it is Steve Jobs. A lady, I understand. You know, maybe you don't want security, but you need security. For this
she's probably still grieving. I mean, it's probably not even occurring to her to do things like that. It's just like, you know, my husband's gone, and, you know, I'm pretty much guessing she's not going to get married again. You know, who wants to marry Steve Jobs' widow? You can never measure up.
No, exactly. Well,
never measure up. Sorry. Unless it's Bill Gates. That's the only way this would go down. Bill Gates and her got hooked up.
No, I'm sorry. Steve Jobs is the hot one out of the two.
I don't know. I think they both were kind of hot in their day.
Yeah.
But I like them. I like them kind of, you know, I like them kind of geeky.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
With syrup. Okay, so anyway. You prefer?
Yeah.
I got a lot of news here. I'm really not sure what to tell you about. Well, I will tell you about PopCap and the new. Since we're having, you know, we have this new zombie watch every day. Wait a minute, I forgot to do my music,
zombie
didn't
watch.
I? Wait a minute. I forgot to do it. I have to get the music together. You can't just do zombie watch without the music. Here you go. Okay, so PopCap Games has opened their new Plants vs. Zombies online store. Right? The fun, right?
Yay! Can I buy, like, cool stuff?
Well, apparently PopCap has partnered with Tree Brand stores to create a unique one-stop shopping destinations for PopCap's multi-million unit selling game. The store will ship exclusive high-quality products from both the United States and the U.K., providing PopCap fans around the world access to a variety of Plants vs. Zombies goods. Merchandise available at launch will include apparel such as T-shirts, infant onesies, and hooded sweatshirts, plush toys and figurines. Basically, they're saying, hey, you Angry Birds people, we can do this too. They also have accessories like hats, lunchboxes, mugs, limited edition art, and a limited amount of merchandise from licensors such as calendars and pop figurines. They said they're very excited to give their fans exclusive Plants vs. Zombies merchandise that they can only find at PVZ at the PVZstore.com. What? I don't. They didn't give us any pictures, so I can't tell you what it's like. But you can get your own plushy zombie toy. They're saying over at a PVZ store. I'm gonna go see what they got while we're on the air. I'll tell you.
PVZ store.
The PVZ is in zebra.
And
oh my god! Oh my god! The zombies are adorable.
Do they have cute stuff then?
They have cute stuff. They have a vinyl zombie, and they're not expensive. They're not too expensive. They're not like Angry Birds, you know, where they're $30. I would buy this.
You know what? I'm gonna have to go check it out then because I love me some zombies. Love me some zombies.
Joseph, thank you for blowing up my speakers. You are most welcome, Joe.
Anytime. I am looking for a specific story here. Hold on, I lost it.
Okay, let me fade us out with the zombie. There you go.
Okay, I found it. Expand your Halo Infinity multiplayer experience with specializations in Halo 4. Yay! New limited edition SKU details revealed. Halo 4 War Games Map Pass provides 3 post-launch war game maps. Map packs discounted at more than 15%. Did you just ping me or something? The UNSC.
No.
Okay. The UNSC Infinity, the largest starship in the UNSC fleet, is your gateway to the Halo Infinity multiplayer experience in Halo 4 and serves as the center of your Spartan career. Here, you'll build your custom Spartan 4 Super Soldier and progress your multiplayer career across the brand new episodic Spartan Ops campaign and the multitude of competitive war game modes. Earn experience and unlock all new specializations in both Spartan Ops and War Games as you earn new ranks. In addition, the Halo 4 Limited Edition SKU and Halo 4 War Game Maps Pass will provide even more opportunities to establish your legacy on the battlefield. Activate specializations to earn new ranks and equipment. With 8 specializations in Halo 4, you can achieve higher ranks in your Spartan career once you progress beyond level 50. As you level up through these dedicated paths, you will earn a bristling arsenal of combat-enhancing armor mods that provide even more options to customize your Spartan 4 to fit your preferred role on the battlefield. In addition, armor sets, emblems, visor colors, weapon, and armor skins unique to each specialization distinguish your Spartan 4 from other players in Halo Infinity multiplayer. Yay! All right, so the 2 specializations. I'm going to lose my voice. Wet Work and Pioneer will be available to all players when Halo 4 launches on November 6th.
Ooh, did they have to go with the Wet Work?
Yeah, Wet Work. The remaining 6 specializations are available by pre-ordering the standard Halo 4 game exclusively at Game and Game Station stores. All right, so this is apparently only for the EU, at least right now. Alternatively, all 8 specializations are included in the Halo 4 Limited Edition pack. All specializations will gradually be made available to download through Xbox Live in the months following launch. So if you want it now, if you want it as soon as it comes out, yeah, you got to buy all that fun stuff. Otherwise, you just got to wait.
All right, the devil has done a good deed. Mm-hmm, that's right. EA has pulled all the advertisements and links associated with real-world weaponry from its Medal of Honor website in response to articles posted about the offers on Eurogamer and the Gameological Society. GI International is reporting that previously ads and blog posts on the game's website had linked to sponsors selling weapons and equipment featured in Medal of Honor, including a custom-built Tomahawk and a tactical sniper rifle kit. Also linked were several blogs detailing the equipment on offer, such as silencers, muzzle brakes, and clothing, with videos of executive producer Greg Goodrich even testing them. When Gameological wrote an editorial about the offers, calling into question the wisdom of selling weapons to people who'd been practicing using them to kill people competitively, the program was already in full swing, having been announced in June. Then, however, the story had been given a different gloss by EA PR, with press releases focusing on the cut of the profits, which would be going to help armed forces veterans. Eurogamer's piece by ex-editor and current operations director Tim Bromwell added an even more bemused European angle to the criticism. He said yesterday, speaking at Eurogamer's Martin Robinson at Gamescom, Goodrich said that the links had been removed in response to the outcry. He said, "The Voodoo Tomahawk has since been removed from my website because of the article," said Goodrich, referring to Bromwell's editorial. He said, "That was an effort to raise a lot of money for charity, and we were well on our way to raising a lot of money with that Tomahawk, but I don't know what happened with that now." He said, That whole effort, we've been working with those partners because we wanted to be authentic and we wanted to give back to the communities. Every one of those partners, none of them paid a dime for a product placement. All the money generated went to Project Honor." Goodrich was also keen to point out that usually gaming press are fully in favor of emphasizing the disconnect between fantasy and reality when it comes to play causing violent behavior. He says, "It's an experience and it's a video game, and they're going on that journey and learning about these group of people. It doesn't mean they have any less respect for these. Maybe it's a cultural thing." He says, "If I played Need for Speed and I'm handed the keys to a Porsche, does that make me want to get in and drive like a maniac and run people over? No. I played a game, and now I'm driving a car in real life, but I'm not going to go crazy with it because I played a video game. In first-person shooters, we're not teaching someone how to shoot better or be a better operator by just playing the game. It doesn't compute. Just like when I play John Madden football, I can't expect to win the Super Bowl just because I played a video game." Ooh, I'm on the fence about that one, and we got to talk about that later on tonight. Tonight, make sure you're listening, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will be discussing this. I'm really on the fence. On one hand, I can say, yeah, it's a video game. On the other hand, it's weapons, and they're real weapons. And it's not so much as the people would go crazy, but the people that are crazy, you know, like the people that shot the Washington mm-hmm. yesterday, and we had another shooting before that, what was at the temple, and then we had the guy at the movie theater.
We had the guy here in Texas the other day.
Yeah, we really do not want these people getting a hold of this.
No.
So... But I understand that most gamers, we understand the disconnect, that it is a fantasy, but some of us
But not everybody else seems to.
Yeah, we got to be responsible. Anyway, we will be talking about that tonight in all our full glory. Freaking text people.
How dare you text her? How dare you?
It's not that they did. It's what they texted. Why do y'all do this to me during the show? You especially. You know who I'm talking to. Cut it out.
Text
all right.
Harder.
There's been enough of that. Thank you. but Ginger, what do you got?
I've got giggles and coughs, apparently. Gaming world rocked by evil controller creator Unleashed. Design your own Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 controllers in real time with over 10 billion combinations. Share, tweet, pin your creations. Evil Controllers has released a new innovation to revolutionize the way controllers are made. This innovation gives gamers a complete visual on the controller as they are designing before they order it. With over 10 billion combinations, gamers can spend a lifetime finding the perfect controller. The launch of Evil's controller creator includes more than 60 shell options and dozens of add-ons to choose from. Gamers can design a fully unique controller with a carbon fiber shell or skull imaging print, then add custom triggers, thumbsticks, buttons, and more. Many of the options available are only available at Evil Controllers. These include upgrades like sensitive buttons, sensitive triggers, the Evil D-pad, and Evil's own professional thumbsticks. If gamers can envision it, Evil will build it. Who's talking here? Jonah Coe, Chief Operating Officer of Evil Controller, says, "We knew for this industry to move forward, this technology needed to be established. Our development team is dedicated to delivering the highest user experience to our customers. In just 4 days, over 40,000 controllers have been created on the new site. He estimates the site will hit 1 million creations in the next 2 months. Gamers can share, pin, and tweet their controller designs. Creating controllers that match their favorite sports team, video game franchise, or personal style has never been easier. The added functionality allows the designer to share their custom controller with their personal circles before they receive it and before they order it. The fidelity of Evil Controller's new controller creator gives gamers the opportunity to add more than aesthetic upgrades. Other potential upgrades include gameplay enhancements like rapid fire, but also include game-specific modifications. These enhancements supercharge a player's potential to improve their gaming abilities." Yay! And to celebrate, Evil Controllers is discounting all controllers made with the creator by 20% until September 1st. In addition, fans of Evil Controllers and gaming can share their designs on Evil Controllers' Facebook event, Win a Controller Contest, Controller Creator Unleashed, for their chance to win a free Xbox 360 or PS3 controller. That's awesome. All right, so you want to do this? EvilController.com. And by the way, since I totally just talked about you guys, I want a controller.
I think we should make that happen. All right. Drink your football like a good little boy, Timmy.
Drink your football?
Mm-hmm. Appy Nation and Grace Cooper Media today announced the launch of Fluid Football, the next evolution in tactical soccer games, now available on the App Store for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. Developed by Chromativity, I love some of the names they're coming up with. Not all of them. They did it in close collaboration with professional football commentators Andy Gray and Richard Keys. Fluid Football's arrival ushers in a new type of football game that gives players unparalleled freedom to work their way through a series of challenging set-piece scenarios using whatever combination of real-world tactics they deem suitable in order to win. Designed to appeal to any football fans, inner strategist, Fluid Football puts real-time tactical decision-making right in the hands of the player, or in your fingertips, so to speak. Faced with a variety of real-world scenarios, players plan their strategy in real-time via an overhead view of the pitch, stringing together passes, outpacing defenders, setting up pinpoint crosses, and any one of the hundreds of possible strategies. Players can devise complex sequences. Stop it. And strategies via simple finger swipes to direct their team's actions to line up a shot on goal. The camera then switches to a 3D player's eye view in which the player must successfully direct their shot on target against the goalkeeper and the defenders. You know what? I really got to get more into soccer because it looks interesting. We're thrilled to be bringing such a unique tactical football title to the App Store. This is Mr. Andy Gray, director of Gray Cooper Media. He says, "We've been very closely involved with the game's development from day one, and we've invested a lot of our personal experience into the game to ensure it has as much authenticity as possible. If you can do it on the field, you can do it in Fluid Football." Rare.
Yay!
Yes, it's also available for free right now on the App Store on iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch if you want to check it out. I have not looked at it, so I don't know. It looks a little cartoony.
Doesn't?
Well, it's not the cartoony. I don't like that overhead view. But it might still be interesting to someone who's really into soccer, and I may give it a go later. Yeah.
All right. Peter Moore shoots down rumors, says there's no feud between Valve and EA.
Yes, there is. Please. What kind of fool do you take us for?
I know, right? There's no feud between Valve and EA over their competing digital distribution platforms, Steam and Origin, at least according to EA's Chief Operating Officer, Peter Moore. Speaking to Eurogamer at GamesCon in Cologne, Germany this week, Moore brushed aside the idea that there's some sort of grudge match between the two companies. "Yes, there is. You guys have been running your mouth on both sides. There's no feud, remember? We're the guys who published Left 4 Dead and Portal 2. It's Valve. Gabe's a great friend of EA's. We're a great friend of his, we like to think." But others in the company, like those involved with Origin, have offered several slights against Valve's popular Steam platform. And that's putting aside the fact that when Origin was first launched, EA emphatically Daily denied that its platform was meant to compete with Valve. It didn't take too long for everyone, consumers, the media, and industry to realize that EA had serious plans in mind for Origin. Moore also tried to address the controversies that cropped up when Origin first launched, like when EA's games started to disappear from Valve's platform. They have different terms and conditions that they put on their games that don't meet what we would like to do with our games. In other words, we'd like to spy and see all your porn.
Yeah.
They insist on being a layer between the game developer and publisher and the consumer. We don't want any layers. We want to see it all. They take a piece of the revenue stream, and they don't allow us to go directly to the consumer to do patches and updates. So we just agree to disagree. It's not a feud. They have their terms and conditions. We do. They don't meet. Earlier this year, Valve founder Gabe Newell said that they were constantly talking to EA about bringing games back to Steam, but Moore tells Eurogamer that the terms and conditions are non-negotiable for them at this point in time. We're very clear on what we want to do. We want to spy all your porn. To be able to put a game on a platform and interact with the gamer and see everything you do. The current terms and conditions of Steam don't allow that, because Steam is not a nosy creeper. If they change to meet the contract with the gamer we set out to do, then of course things might change. But until then, nothing's going to change, because we are creepers.
Oh my God, Ginger.
Your move, creeper.
All right. Facebook is face down. That's right.
Oh, no.
Facebook stock fell nearly 7% after trading started this morning, hitting a new low.
Going through my head.
A new low of $19.76 per share. The downward pressure comes from a massive sale of shares by the company insiders, board members, institutional investors, and executives who are selling for the first time today because of the expiry of so-called lockup agreements.
Expiry.
The agreement requires privilege. Freaking gum. The agreement requires privileged shareholders to hold on to their stock for a certain amount of time to prevent the market from being deluged with too many shares after an IPO. This lockup agreement lasted for 180 days, but more expiry dates are coming, which could put further downward pressure on the stock. To some extent, the downward pressure today was expected. Investors who were eligible to sell today included Peter Thiel, Accel Partners, Elevation Partners, Greylock Partners, Microsoft, yes, they own stock in Facebook, Goldman Sachs, and Tiger Global. The wider market knew that the expiry happened today because it was widely publicized in Facebook's public documents filed with the SEC. Typically, market players factor this into their assessment of the stock's value, and they trade the stock lower going into such an expiry in perfect conditions. Therefore, a lockup's expiry efforts are already factored in, and you don't see a stock get pounded so hard in the actual expiry date. But in Facebook's case, the stock has struggled ever since the company went public back in May. The market is having a hard time figuring out how to value Facebook. It's had incredible hype, but investors have to worry about its liability to monetize its mobile site, and many were disappointed by the company's bad fumbling of the IPO process. About 271 million fresh shares were released for sale this morning. Some 22 million shares changed hands in the first 10 minutes of trading today. Within the first half hour, the volume soared to 42 million. Facebook stock is now half of its value when it went public just 3 months ago. The lockup slumped today, follows similar drops in the stock of other recently public companies like Groupon and LinkedIn. Groupon fell 10% on its lockup, while LinkedIn fell almost 7%. And there's still the massive hit that social gaming companies like Zynga took from insider sales, where lawsuits are, of course, pending. In some ways, these stocks have been inextricably tied together in investors' minds because they were the first public companies representing the social trend. There's a fear that the entire sector was overhyped. We could have told you that. We did say it was overhyped. Duh. Today is only the first in a wave of lockup expirations coming for Facebook. A total of 1.8 billion shares are held by insiders and with the lockup agreements as well that expire over the next 9 months, with the next one happening 90 days from now. This doesn't mean the full 1.8 billion shares will be sold, because insiders may decide to hold on to their shares rather than sell them, especially if they feel the company is now too undervalued. Also, some of those shares are apparently being released by Facebook to cover a tax bill that may instead decide to pay through a credit line. By using a credit line, it can avoid releasing so many shares on the market. And of course, you can read more about this from CNN if you are interested. Ooh, faceplant.
Yay, face plant.
That is a face plant if I ever saw one. Woo!
And you gotta needle soup plants. Those always hurt.
Or so this is the day you almost put in the corner of Jack Sparrow.
I saw that. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's why I started giggling. Oh, my God. That's hilarious. You're not supposed to be funnier than us today. Not supposed to be funnier than us.
That was Horace.
Was it Horace?
Yes.
All right. Hopefully, y'all can hear this, like, demonic cat. All right, anyways, Tales from Space, Mutant Blob. Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack, now available on Steam for the PC. Today, we are pleased to announce that indie developer Drinkbox Studios, now I want a Drinkbox, has released Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack on Steam for PC. Having launched earlier this year on the PlayStation Vita to critical acclaim, Mutant Blobs Attack has now hit Steam with new features and custom content. In celebration to sweeten the deal, Drinkbox Studios has opted to put Mutant Blobs Attack on sale for only $7.19.
Really?
Yeah. During its first week on Steam, 10% off its normal price. That's one heck of a lot of blob for your gaming buck. To accompany the game's release, a new Mutant Blobs Attack Steam launch trailer and 20 new HD screenshots have been uploaded. Yay! Y'all don't need to know that. Anyways, there is a trailer over on GameAndMatrix.com this morning. Head over, check it out. And, yeah. So that's awesome.
You know what I was just thinking this morning?
What were you thinking?
I don't know about you, but I really want to ride some horses. Thoroughbred horses?
No, that's not what I was thinking.
Hey!
What?
You know, Ginger.
I didn't say anything like that.
Yes, you did.
I know, you took it that way. I wasn't even thinking that.
Sure, you weren't. Bad, Ginger. Bad. Bad red-haired girl. Bad.
But I'm so good.
It's, by the way, it's Ginger Thursday. Did you know that?
Yay!
It's Ginger Thursday every Thursday.
Ginger Thursday!
It mostly has to do with red-haired girls. So, again, if you're on Google Plus, you already know that it's Ginger Thursday because that's what they talk about. Ha, ha, ha. Every Thursday is Ginger Thursday. All right. But anyway, I was saying before Ginger was being all dirty, the Jockey Club... The Jockey Club today announced the release of Thoroughbred World, its first social and mobile game. Thoroughbred World provides an unmatched, authentic thoroughbred horse training and breeding experience from building the first paddock to enter the winner's circle. The game is now available on Facebook and is coming to iOS in the early fall. Thoroughbred World combines the best gameplay elements of a sim builder and a resource manager. Players create the ultimate beautiful racehorse in custom training facilities, improving agility, balance, stamina, and speed through a series of mini-games. Once their dream horse is prepared, players enter races against other players to win in-game currency and other items. For over a century, the Jockey Club has worked to improve thoroughbred racing and breeding, explained Jason Watson, who's the Vice President of Business Development at the Jockey Club. Thoroughbred World is part of our evolving strategy announced last year to help promote the sport to the mass market by adapting the beautiful technological changes and reaching fans through new media. We're very excited about this new era. So if you're wondering what can you do in such a game that would be so exciting, I don't really know. But here's what they told us you can do. Use action points to nurture and train beautiful horses, then enter them in competitive races against other players. You're going down, horse. You're going down. You can purchase thoroughbreds from the system, and from other players using in-game real-life currency. Really? Uh-uh. Or you can breed them yourself using realistic coat colors to produce beautiful and unique horses. Use coins and thorough bucks to upgrade your training center and equip horses, trainers, and jockeys. Earn in-game currency by winning races, selling horses, or contracting out breeding services. Play every day to earn loyalty bonuses and chance to compete in special VIP races for thorough bucks, coins, and high-end game items. Ooh, wow. Breakfast. So you can play that right now on Facebook, as I'm doing. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You don't know what you're going to do?
I don't know how it's going to work. It may suck. And y'all know, of course, you people that sent us this, you know if it does suck. I'm going to tell you now, your music sucks. That's just wrong. You hear that horrible music?
No.
Why do people always want horses and then they have to find the guitar, the nice classical guitar? How about no music? I want to see a Facebook game that has no music.
Yes, thank you. No music, because it's always loud and annoying.
It is.
Unless y'all put Hellstorm to it, I don't want to hear it.
Right?
Uh-huh. All right. I've got my stupid person of the week. Teen charged for theft of RuneScape currency faces 15 years in prison for grand larceny. Oh, my God. All right. So when an attempt to buy 4.7 billion RuneScape coins with counterfeit money didn't work, 19-year-old Hamza Bajwa pulled a fake gun on the seller and demanded he transfer the coins. David Amani and Jonathan Dokler of Fordham University agreed to sell their RuneScape coins for $3,300 to fellow student Hamza Bajwa. Bajwa thought he'd fool Amani with counterfeit money, but when Amani didn't fall for his plan, Bajwa put a fake gun to his head and forced him to call Dokler to make the transfer. Oh my God. According to the New York Post, the pair had met twice to make the transaction. The first time, Amani noticed the counterfeit money and didn't want to go ahead with the deal. Bajwa made a quick excuse to leave once he was found out and asked to meet again the next night. Bajwa arrived with counterfeit money yet again, but this time had a real $100 note to trick Amani into making the exchange. Amani compared the $100 note to the rest of the money and told Bajwa he knew the money was fake and he wouldn't be going ahead with the deal. It was then that Bajwa put a realistic-looking BB gun to the head of Amani and demanded he call Dokler to make the transfer. Amani says of the situation, "I couldn't believe I was about to get shot of RuneScape. I was scared. I was about to die." You know what, Mr. Amani? I can't believe you're still playing RuneScape and that you had $3,300 worth of coins. When the transfer was complete, Bajwa left Amani unharmed and surprisingly didn't rob him of anything but the RuneScape coins. He even left the $100 note. How nice of him. Surveillance video helped to capture and apprehend Bajwa. He'll be charged with second-degree robbery and grand larceny with a bail of $20,000. If convicted, Bajwa could face up to 15 years in prison. RuneScape developer Jagex Games does not promote the sale of coins for cash and is looking at imposing a lifetime ban on players involved in real-life trading.
And Ginger would put a lifetime ban on anybody playing RuneScape, so.
Yes. You get a ban from life for playing RuneScape. But seriously, though, $3,300. And this guy, he brought the fake money the first time the guy found him out. He brings it a second time, this time with an actual $100 bill mixed in. Because, you know, the $100 bill is going to throw you off. No. If I knew it was fake the first time, I'm going to know the rest was fake the second time. It's just nuts. And you know what this just goes to show? College does not make you smart.
Nope. We all know that you just have to remember stuff in college.
Mm-hmm.
Horace pulling out of water fist. Oh, Horace, why? Why are you so insane?
Yeah. I don't know.
What's wrong with your friend? That's your friend.
Not my friend. Oh, what are you talking about? I didn't do it.
Oh, that Texas accent came out then.
I know, right?
It was adorable. All right. Well, hey, people. Hey! Easy with the tweets. Easy. Okay. Just so you all know, Moshi Monsters magazine in the UK is, for some reason, the top magazine.
Moshi Monsters magazine?
You heard what I said, Moshi Monster magazine. Mind Candy.
Magazine of what?
I'm going to tell you. So Mind Candy's Moshi Monsters magazine is now the 26th top-selling magazine in the UK in the news, trade, and single-copy sales category. The figures published by the Audit Bureau of Circulations represent the 6 months from January to June and put Moshi Monsters magazine at 227,958. That's a growth of more than 100% on last year and a rise of 34% since February. The magazine has been created or was created, is created by Mind Candy in collaboration with Skyjack Publishing. It's another phenomenal ABC result for Moshi Monsters magazine and one that shows that the title continues to reach an even larger audience with each issue, said MD of Skyjack, Matt Yeo, sorry, Matt, your name wasn't even hard to pronounce. I just couldn't get it out. The ongoing challenge has always been to create the most exciting, involving, and entertaining kids' magazine in an increasingly competitive market. We continue to carry on building on the success of today's figure and take Moshi Monsters magazine to even greater heights. It's a huge achievement, and we're immensely proud given the challenging market, added co-editor Emma Monroe Smith. These latest figures show that if content is appealing enough, kids will continue to engage with magazines. The Moshi Monsters magazine launched in February of last year. So it's kids in the UK that apparently like Moshi Monsters. Interesting.
All right. you know, all right.
To each the kid their own. I can tell you now, Baby Natrix would throw that at me.
And I would clap for her.
I don't want any freaking Moshi Mosh.
What is this?
Really? Really, Mommy? Yeah, that's what I'd hear. Really?
Wow. That's just nuts. All right. Wait, no, I already read that story.
Mm-hmm.
Sword Girls launches Season 2 today. Sword Girls Season 2 officially launched today. Da-da-da-da. The four main characters in the Season 2 storyline are introduced. Although the storyline featuring the main characters from Season 1 will end, don't worry. They will remain as playable cards when we transition to the new season. In addition, there will be new cards, an all-new Muspelheim dungeon, and various other improvements. Alright, so what do we got? We got a couple of new faction leaders. Vita, Detective Asamus. Asamus is the new main character for the Vita faction. If she seems familiar, she's actually a returning minor character from the first season of Sword Girls. Academy, Linus Falco. When Linnea took control of the Academy at the end of Season 1, she started to target witches for enrollment. Linus Falco is one of these new students and the new main character of the Academy. Then we've got Crux Knight Rose. Rose Pacifica is another witch, as well as a sister to Cynia, the main Academy character of the first season. But her ties to the Academy were cut a long time ago. When Linnea, her eldest sister, discovered Rose was a witch, she was exiled from the family and forced to take up a life of wandering. Yay! All right, so anyways, Dark Lore, Helena K. Sink. Dark Lore is more than just vampires, witches, and other strange beings. It is a term for anyone that Crux opposes. In the last season, the GS, a group of humans opposed to the Crux goddess of miracles, executing a devastating attack on Crux territory and setting the city ablaze. Yay! Helena K. Sink leads the Alethians, a faith that worships the god of truth and opposes the goddess of miracles. Yay! Alright, so anyways, about Sword Girls. What is it? Sword Girls takes the CCG experience to heights with its visually stunning anime design and strategic gameplay that entices both veteran players and newcomers alike. The game features over 500 uniquely drawn playable cards that can be collected through the innovative card crafting system. Players gather crafting materials by competing their way through dozens of dungeon levels against computer opponents or by challenging other players to online duels. Anyway, so you want to check this out? SwordGirlsOnline.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What happened was... What are you munching on, woman?
Gum. I love me some gum. If it would just give me some nutrients, it would be perfect. Okay.
She loves the chew.
You all know that there's only one game to rule them all.
Uh-oh. Halo 4.
Yes, I said yes, one game to rule them all. One game to find them. One game to bring them all.
Halo 4.
And it's at Gamescom 2012. What is wrong with you? This is Lord of the Rings. Hello. No. Okay, so of course you all know Gamescom 2012 is officially underway. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment is excited to unveil a brand new trailer and some screens, which I will be trying to get up at GameAtrix.com. But my Chrome doesn't want to download anything today. What is up, Chrome?
Oh, no.
The next,
too much prawn.
The next epic LEGO adventure set for release in fall 2012 is going to be LEGO Lord of the Rings. Attendees of the show are getting a special treat as they prepare for a hands-on demo of one of the most memorable moments from the award-winning Lord of the Rings motion picture trilogy, The Battle at Helm's Deep. Oh, that's my favorite one. Oh, the music. Have you heard the music from Battle at Helm's Deep? Y'all know I love movie soundtrack. That banana, bum, bum, bum. Okay, anyway. So, some of your favorite, they said you can see some of your favorite fellowship members embark on their adventure in this new set of screenshots and trailers, which we'll have up. I am so excited. If my Chrome would just download it, I would have shared it with you by now. Chrome, do what you're supposed to do, Chrome.
Do what you're supposed to
do. Do you want to play this one, Ginger? It is LEGO.
I may have to because I love me some LEGO.
There is a bad thing going on with me and LEGO. There could be a very bad affair because I played LEGO Batman, and I tell you, I loved it. Robin was so adorable.
You know what? I found some of my LEGO games the other day while I was packing. I may have to play now.
Real LEGOs or just LEGO games?
LEGO games.
I want to play with some real LEGOs, too.
Get Minecraft.
I told you, that's another addiction. I can't do it.
So good.
By the way, I do want to say thank you. I've been saying all week to Joe for trying to help me underclock my video card. I will be trying that today, and if I get onto Facebook via my phone and start screaming at you, Joe, that it's all your fault, you better hide. Anyway.
All right, so I got another one. Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 swoops to PC. Yay!
It's swooping to PC? It can't just go?
No, it has to swoop. Konami Digital Entertainment has announced that it will release a Windows PC version of its stunning Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2, alongside the versions for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. The Windows PC version of Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 is being simultaneously developed by Madrid-based Mercury Steam and builds on its critically acclaimed predecessor in every way. The new game features an all-new storyline, a larger cast of characters, huge open-world environments, and breathtaking visuals delivered via a much more powerful brand-new in-house game engine called Mercury Engine 2. Yay! Whereas the first game details the origin of Dracula and his legendary connection with the Belmonts, Castlevania Lord of Shadow 2 acts as a shocking finale to the Lords of Shadow saga, as Dracula returns once again, weakened and yearning for release from his immortal bonds. Facing a new and powerful threat, the Vampire Lord must amass his old powers, and his castle is central to regaining his abilities. Yay! Alright, so the release date, sometime in 2013, it's going to be for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Windows PC. Have no prize for you other than that. So, yay! Castlevania, Lords of Shadow 2, swooping to a PC near you.
Oh, people. Let me see. I'm seeing if I have time for this. Sony is in talks. Well, I'm going to squeeze it in real quick because we got literally minutes. Sony is in talks with a third-party publisher to adopt the Cross-Buy Initiative. It's a service that gifts a free Vita game to consumers who have bought a compatible PlayStation 3 title. Hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, obviously, they want to encourage third parties to adopt it, but ultimately, whether or not the game includes cross-buy is a publishing decision that will be at the third party's discretion, whether or not they want to go down that road. And we'll probably mention more of this tonight because it's interesting, something very, very interesting to talk about, see if this is going to work for Sony, because we know the Vita sales are horrible, while Nintendo was pointing and laughing. Ha ha! So we'll see you guys at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight. Make sure you are listening or you're sitting in the chat room. You can also call in. And please, those of you who come in and don't have an account, sign up for one. So you can talk to us. Ginger likes to molest people in the chat room. And she
yes, and they all love it when I do that.
They do, because she's Ginger.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, you know where to find us. GameNHX.com.
Gamer Girls Radio. Twitter. Google Plus.
Yeah, those places. And
now
everywhere.
We're on the DFO server of Minecraft.
APB. LinkedIn. Big. Technorati. Just find us. We'll be around.
GingerGameNetchix.com.
And now this goes out to that special person. You know who you are. Ginger.